If you're here because you want to be, or if you're here to visit, to watch us, can you please turn that on? It lit up. Obscured, elongated shadow figure face. Just face itself, no neck, according to her. That spirit's been walking the halls for 12 years now. We have evidence and pictures to fucking prove it. We call him Big Boy. Hey everybody, and welcome back to We the Haunted, episode 20 something. I am question mark, exactly. I am Trevor Haunted Faith, and we also have
Lily, the one and the only.
Yes.
I'm gonna have little sparklers on my hands one day, fire and all, and I'm just gonna do that.
Safety hazard. I mean, you're already a hazard, but now we got a safety hazard.
Yeah, I'm a hazard, but we got to add the safety hazard in front of it to make life a little sparkly.
It's been a bit. That was a good start. Oh, and by the way, welcome back to We the Haunted, Our Encounters. This is Twilight Zone. Please don't sue us.
They're not going to sue us.
Is that even still running?
No.
Okay. Then yeah, they won't sue us.
Oh God! Like
no. The brother of one of the Peel brothers. They did a reboot of that. Remember?
Oh yeah, they rebooted it, but yeah. That's because it's so old they were allowed to reboot it.
That's fair. All right.
Just
so,
saying.
So welcome back to I'm kidding.
Could you imagine that we could get sued for?
Yeah. This is the first episode of our spinoff. I was going to do an episode on Ashmore Estates, but that's going to be at a later date because I had a lot of encounters that I wanted to talk about. And since We the Haunted, the podcast, the main podcast, is about talking about hauntings in general, locations, places, same thing, people and objects. We're going to have multiple spinoffs for specific ideas we want to hit on. And this series is about me and Lily's encounters only, and we call this Our Encounters. It's to the point, simple, but still catchy. It still hits you right on the good tongue, you know?
On that goody good spot.
Yeah, on the goody good spot. Is that what the kids call it? Anyway.
Yeah. get with the groove, man.
I haven't seen that TikTok yet. Apparently,
what?
It's apparently all the trends happen on TikTok.
Yeah,
this is Our Encounters. The first episode, I'm going to be talking about, as you all probably know, I'm not going to go on a rant about them. I work with a company called Ghost Hunts USA. Enough about them, specifically about the company. Recently, in the past 2 to 3 months, I have been hosting investigations at Missouri State Penitentiary. You probably can tell from my shirt and my hat. And I've had a lot of encounters. One actually so prolific, I'm going to get a tattoo about it. And I
must not know about it.
No, you do not.
I don't.
You do not. And I have a lot of encounters I want to talk about. And also at the end, I'm going to talk about some encounters I had from a previous investigation that you did with me and with us. And also I'm going to give a update on my Conjuring House investigation, because that is almost coming to a close and going to be uploaded relatively in the next couple of months. I don't know when. But yeah, this is the main part of this episode will be about my encounters at Missouri State Penitentiary. So saying that, there is 5 locations, or not locations, there are 5 buildings on the premises that you go to on a Ghost Hunts USA investigation. I say that specifically because there is a lot more places that you can go on the tour, not a lot more, a few more places that you can go to on the tour hosted by MSP themselves. But for safety reasons and hazards, we can only go to a certain amount of places because of the amount of people that are allowed on the property during the investigation.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. 150 people.
That makes sense.
So we are allowed to go to 3D, which is House 3D, which is a dormitory. It has a mixture of cells and showers. And then there's also Death Row. Oh. The, yes.
Well, you have to go there.
Which is my prolific experience happened in death row.
Ooh, oh, well, that makes fucking sense. So cliche. Damn. Damn ghost.
I should have just ignored it. Like, come at me better. Like,
you know. You can do better than this. Come on. Let's not be basic here. Come on.
I get that fucking fan out. Like,
me, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, you can do better than this.
Oh, you would be like that. Practice. There is no ACs, and the only fan that you have is a broken window.
Oh, wow. I would fucking die.
The last investigation that we have is in April, and the next investigation that we have there is in September.
Oh, well, yeah, because during the summer, you can't fucking be there.
Well, do you know why specifically?
Because it's so fucking hot.
Guess the heat. Because they have...
It's got to be, like, boiling in there. Like, almost 200.
Oh, no. No. It ain't that high. No, at least not what I've been told.
Well, it would feel like 200 to me. But, you know.
I've been told it goes up to 115.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. 200 degrees. It's basically 200 degrees, right? Like, an 85 degree difference. No, that's 200 degrees. You might as well just be boiling me in water at that point.
I'm not good at math, so sure.
I'm not either.
Yeah, same family, I forget. Well, technically not, but fuck, you get the idea.
I mean, if we really want to get technical about it, we all had to come from somewhere. So technically, if you want to really get into
it. I was about to make a joke about God, but that's for a different podcast.
That's why I cut it off right there. Okay.
So there's 3D, there's death row, there's the women's quarters, and then there's the gas chamber where everyone was executed. 42 people, 40 or 42 people, the people were executed. Two of them were women, and one of them we'll be talking about here because we had an instant encounter. And then the last one's a mixture of two because it's technically in the same building. There's house 4.
Okay.
Which was shut down for a very long time. Now that it got reopened because a tornado took the roof off of it. It got rebuilt and now it's good to go again. Nice. And then down below is the dungeons. And
that's where
down in the dungeon is the hole.
That's where I want to go. I'm going to stay the night in there. I'm going to make it my little living quarters.
I think it's like 14 feet deep.
Yeah, I'm going to make buddies with all the ghosts. We're going to hang out. We're going to have our little, like, cozy area. We're going to have, like, a little coffee room where we have our little coffee tea time.
I don't know why, but it popped into my head that we're sitting around the campfire singing
our famous song.
Don't sue us, Disney. Or was it? No, wait, it's Nickelodeon. I haven't watched SpongeBob in, like, fucking 5 years. Shut the fuck up.
Well, I haven't either, but you should know. You should know.
Anyway, we got the gas chamber, and then we have house 4. Okay. So, I'm going to go ahead and start off now. The women's quarters, that's where we had the dowsing rods and pendulums. I personally did not have it. I have not had a major encounter in that place at all. Nothing much happened there, for me, specifically. But starting off with house 3D. At the end of house 3D, of course, it goes all the way around the building. Because you go upstairs, turn left, there's death row. And then go upstairs, turn right, there's death row, but it's the extension of death row. Okay. And then go downstairs, 3D. And then 3D, at the end of the main part of 3D, it's a bunch of cells. And at the very end, there's a very large shower where everyone took turns. And then beside the wall that runs along the shower is a single, like, metal chair that is meant to be sit down in, if you didn't know.
sit in the chair. this is my cozy spot.
And then in the investigations, in 3D, we always do senses in 3D because there is no source of light. And so even if you have your eyes open, you can't see your hand in front of your face unless you're in, like, the perfect spot. So we literally just ask questions, shut up, ask questions. You know how senses work if you're in the paranormal. It's the basic, most basic form of investigating.
Yeah.
Or one of the most. But anyway. And then there's a chair at the end of 3D where after a little bit, if we don't get any responses. We usually pick a guest, one that looks the most scared or the one that's most anxious to do something. And then we tell them, hey, if you feel comfortable, can you go down and sit in that chair? And then once we take them over, on the way, we'll ask them, do you feel comfortable being used as bait as long as we don't antagonize these spirits? And if they say yes, then cool. We sit them down, and then we start asking questions. Hey, if you're there, we have a guest over here. We have a friend, person over here. And then long
I need
story
you
short,
to punch them.
I'm gonna need you to take your ring finger. No, I'm kidding.
I'm gonna need you to take that axe over there and just go
It's
fling.
like the Curse of Crystal Lake.
Oh,
anyway, all jokes aside, one time during my first event, one girl claimed that she felt like eyes on her, which,
oh, well,
what's
yeah.
new in a prison? And then we started like, hey, if you're over there, can you please like make yourself more known to the woman in the chair? And then after a while, she started to feel like something was hovering over the back of her, like something like had her like on the shoulders. And near the and near the near the end near near the end of that ro the rotation, we kind of turned on the flashlights, and she was like shedding tears.
Oh.
So she wasn't like heavily crying, but she was shedding tears. So.
So almost like, so like you're standing there. I don't, well, everybody's gonna have this feeling of like sheer terror.
Yeah.
I feel it on a daily basis, but you like are frozen in fear and you don't know what to do. And sometimes your emotions get so overwhelmed that you just like your eyes just are watering up and they just start running. So was it kind of like that? Okay, that makes sense.
Like you know how you shed a couple of tears from holding back pain, but you're not crying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Okay, that makes sense.
yeah. And then that was the first thing that I witnessed, and then in that thing, but my first ever, well, not I'll get to that. I'll just mention that it was my first encounter. Next. Okay.
I'm ready.
I gotta be careful, not careful, just I gotta double down on this. One girl had experienced so bad in there, but she was underage, according to the terms and conditions of the premises. She was maybe 14, if I had to guess.
Okay.
But her dad signed a waiver, and she agreed to go in, so we let her in. But she had
Well,
to
that's
sign.
consented. Like, you have to sign something before you go in there, so.
Well, no, they had to sign like an extra form.
Well, yeah, because it's a parent guardian situation.
So this girl was maybe 14, would hardly talk. She was very shy because, like, whenever she came, I like at the end of the event, I was down at the gas chamber because it's far away from everything else, just like making sure no one does like any stupid shit. And
Yeah.
her father, they come down, of course, me just wanting to be nice and try to cheer her up because she looked scared. I was like, so what's your favorite part of the event? What was your favorite building? What was your favorite encounter? Blah 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 blah. And she said that whenever she went down into 3D, she went down into that same corner with the chair, but she didn't sit down. She was just looking around, and she was staring out the window beside the chair and not asking anything. She said she started to feel odd. And the next thing you know, in her own words, a very stretched out, obscured, elongated shadow figure face, just the face itself, no neck, according to her, popped up in her face and gave her like a go to hell look and went away. And
Oh.
she says that she just ran out of there as fast as she could.
Oh my God.
Just some elongated stretched, if a human had a demon shaped face, like just appeared and just did like a. This isn't exactly what she said, but if I had to imagine it, it popped up like in her face and went
Yeah.
and disappeared. But she said it was stretched. It didn't look like a normal human face. It was elongated.
I can almost relate to her.
And she was maybe 14 at most.
Yeah. I won't go any further than that, but I can. Holy shit. When you're 14 and you experience, because you're still young, you're still in that age where things come to you so much more easily. And haven't, my experiences were a lot more isolated, but when they're in a big haunted, like a big energetic haunted prison.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yep. Christ. And there's a reason why I think our event on our side, I could be wrong. I would have to double check our terms and conditions, but I think we only are supposed to allow 16 or plus. Could be wrong on that. I think that's just remember what I heard.
She could have been 16. She could have been right at 16.
They had to check her ID. I just remember her being no more than 14. They checked her. They had to put her ID on file in case something bad actually happened, like her getting out, like actually hurt, like break a leg or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So that happened. And then whenever I was down there during my second trip, down there, I was down in 3D, and I was in the same hallway with the chair and the shower, but I was in the middle of the hallway. So I was a good, like, 50 feet away from the chair. And I was just standing beside, this was census, I was standing beside a cell door. Of course, guests around me, my other investigator was walking around talking, and he asked something. It wasn't relevant to what happened, so I didn't write it down, but he was asking a couple of questions, and then he went silent for like 10-20 seconds. And next thing you know, we heard what sounded like very small chains rattling. Like not enough to be like on the arms or legs chains, but like a dog chain almost.
Okay. Like a drag, it's dragging a little bit.
No, like you got dropped, it got thrown.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, and of course, like multiple people, like, hey, did, like, if I did you hear that? I'm like, yeah, but like that didn't sound like rustling. That sounded like if you were to drop a couple of quarters. So we turned, a couple of us turned on our flashlight, and we found these two pieces of metal that didn't look like anything specific. It looked like if you were just were to cut off just random pieces of metal, like triangular bent pieces of metal, maybe the size of my thumb, two of them in front of us. But that didn't really seem too crazy, because like it's a room full of cell doors, like something could easily been snapped off in the years it's been abandoned,
yeah,
or shut down. So we were like, okay. So we picked them up, and then I was like, let me see if this could have been it. So I just like lightly tossed them onto the ground, and it sounded just like it. So we had metal pieces thrown at us.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that was cool. And then we leaned one up against a little wall, then one lay down on the ground and said, hey, if you could move these again, that'd be awesome, just so we can be sure that it was you. And nothing happened, but yeah, it was
nice.
Cool. It was very cool.
They could have been just like throwing ninja stars at you, being like, ha! Oh, I missed shit. they're trying to get you, like,
it's like, don't act natural.
They're like limited, they're like this against the wall, they're like, huh. Okay, they didn't see us. Okay.
Little do you know, we're spirits. Yeah. Okay. Next is the spiciest section.
Spice Girls.
Well, I can clip. I'm kidding.
Me up straight. Damn.
That's your husband's job.
Not that kind of podcast. TMI.
Well, we're all adults, and even if we're not, it's the world fucking now. It's who gives a shit.
You're like plaster a penis right there.
I don't want to get banned off of YouTube, right? Oh, man. I've already had one copyright strike in the past. Thankfully, I got it removed off my channel. Whenever I was doing reviews on the Ghost Adventures, I accidentally got a 5-second tidbit of their show intro in the background noise of the video, and I got struck down by Travel Channel. So I deleted every remnant of that thing.
And then you were like.
Yeah.
Nice try, you can see that shit.
But anyway, death row in death row, our main topic. The only reason we have different things in different places during the investigations because most people that come in to do the investigations don't know what ghost hunting is. They don't know how to do it. So we teach them how to use equipment as we're using it. So in death row, we use trigger objects, mag lights, REM pods, some music boxes, and a new piece of equipment that I didn't know about till I got there. A trip line. I mean,
Trip line, brother. Oh,
I don't know if you're kidding or like joking. Both the same thing. I'm tired.
I was
I don't know if you're kidding or like being serious.
not being serious.
Okay, I found out about them like about a month ago, and whenever I did that.
I don't think they're used very often.
Nah,
They're
well,
used more in like bigger spaces.
this trip line blew up.
Ooh, I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay, all because of my idea, and I got praised by my boss of it. But anyway,
As you should.
and it's the first thing I'm going to mention. We laid out the trip line inside the death row area, right in front of the cells. We were asking it questions, hey, if you can come and run, blah blah, nothing. And I was in the assisting stage, so I'm still in training. There's a observing, assisting, leading. I was in the assisting stage, and my lead investigator was like watching and listening to what I did, which I knew what to fucking do, but I get their job is there. And so I first, but before I did it, I said, hey everyone, I have a little experiment. And I can just imagine my lead investigator go, oh shit, what's he about
Ah,
to
fuck.
say? And I didn't move the trip line. I said, everyone that is around this lady here, come in closer. So we have like five people side by side. My lead investigator, she comes up and goes, what are you doing? Just trust me, she goes, okay. I lined up five people in front of the trip line to fill up the whole length of it. And I said, now everyone, hold out your hand and face your palms to your left. So they did. And then I said, hey spirit, your friends are here to celebrate the release of you. You are free to go. So if you want, before you go, run down here and give them all a high five because they love you so much. Right as I said that, about 2 seconds later, it all just blew up. And
Oh,
then
damn.
everybody in front of it was like, okay. And then one guy at the end said, do you want to know what's crazy? Was like, my hand is cold and I'm sweating. And then
Well,
I was
yeah, the
like,
place has got no air conditioning. You're gonna be freaking hot.
yeah. And then after the rotation was done, my lead investigator, Abby, she comes up and goes, I'm using that in the future. That was awesome.
That's really good. That's pretty
Yeah.
good, man.
Yeah. So I was excited about that for multiple
Well, that
reasons.
makes sense because you're talking to prisoners.
Yeah.
So what does a prisoner want to fucking do? They want to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense. Especially in a gas chamber where people died.
Well, this
So
wasn't
they
this wasn't in the gas chamber.
Wait, where was this at?
This was in the death row.
Oh, well, still, same scenario. I jumped way too far ahead. They're on death row. They're
Yeah.
like ready, almost getting ready to die. And they're like, oh, wait, now you're free to go, dude. You're free to go. They'd be like, fuck yeah. Like, I mean,
Yeah.
that's pretty good, bro.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, man.
Thank you, thank you.
You're
The
welcome.
next one, I will tell it, but for some people, as far as here, like just watching the video, it may be a you had to be there type moment. But we had a mag light up on this little window sill. You can easily reach it because we had to put it up there in the first place. But it was near the end, so like everybody on the else on the other end didn't get to see it well. But it's the nature of the beast. It's a fucking flashlight. It's not gonna illuminate the whole fucking hallway. And people on the corner, I was like, hey, to the guest, putting up a mag light. I'm gonna walk back and forth to talk to the whole group, but you can talk to them, the mag light, if you're down here and try to get some the responses. So I was like, all right, cool. Walk back and forth a couple of times, and eventually when I walk back, they're like, hey, this mag light's just turning on crazy. Like to all of our questions. I'm like, okay. So I was like, hey, there's a spirit here. Are you mad? Are you sad? Are you angry? Are you happy? And nothing. I'm like, okay, if this is a spirit of a inmate, please turn it on. Nothing. I'm like, okay. This is a spirit of a pet that was once on the property, a guard dog. Can you make a noise or bite it? Nothing. It was a long shot for biting it. I get it, but I still tried it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay. This was a spirit of a cook. Please turn on that light. Nothing. Lastly, I'm like, okay. Last shot. This is the spirit of a guard. Please turn it on. It lit up. I'm like, okay. And then I was like, if this is still the guard, can you turn that light off immediately? Turned off. I'm like, okay. If this is the spirit of a guard that had a dog with him, can you turn that on? It lit up. Like, can you turn that off? It turned off. Then I said, the last thing before I hand the questions back off to my friends, if you are still here thinking that you still need to patrol the area, if you have some unfinished business, basically what I said, can you please turn that on? And then it did not turn on. And then I said, if you're here because you want to be, or if you're here to visit, to watch us, can you please turn that on? It lit up.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay, see, now this begs the question, do some spirits just come back to certain places like this to just have a little fun?
Yeah. I'm guessing it's either there because it's lonely or it feeds off our
it just wants to be there. It just wants to like hang out and like be like, yeah, sure, I'll help you guys out.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah.
I've always thought about that with certain places, but go ahead.
It was just awesome to have such intelligent communication through a flashlight. It just felt good.
That's cool.
And then okay, I will mention this, and then I will mention the one that gave a lasting impression. Okay, after all the rotations were over and free roam hit, the guests were allowed to go wherever they want that we had been to do whatever they want when it comes to investigating. My boss, he put me on the merch table to sell some t-shirts and the sign-out sheet. I mean, all right, cool, I can do it. I did it. About 30 minutes passes, and then Andrew, he comes over, my boss, and he looks at me and goes, you want to have some fun? And I'm like, fuck, I got to clean up some fucking mess. And I'll look at him, and I actually say, is that a sarcastic fun or a real fun? And he goes, it's real fun. I'm like, okay. And he goes, do you remember you were in Death Row, and you were doing a Maglite session, and you had some... A group of girls that were there in the Death Row as guests, and they were like right in front of you. I'm like, I couldn't see in front of my face, dude. I'm like, but I heard some girls in front of me talking. I'm like, I can only imagine that there were some girls there. And he goes, all right, well, they are a group of friends, and they enjoyed the session, and were wondering if you would like to go back into that same spot and just do like a little private investigation. I'm like, how long? Like, don't you want me? He's like, no, I'll cover the merch. You just go up there. And he kind of gets into my ear and goes, the guests are here to have fun. You know, this is what they want. I'm like, all right, cool. So I don't remember their fucking, they didn't tell me their names. But me and these group of girls went up to the Death Row, and we hopped in to a Death Row cell, and they were all getting to the back corner, and I was by the entrance. And I didn't, I hardly asked anything. They just had a bunch of questions on how equipment worked and what spirits were possibly here. And I told them the best that I could. But then, we started asking some questions through EVP and EMF and dowsing rods and stuff. And we didn't get much, but then eventually, thankfully, the other people that were down the hallway that were talking left. So we were the only ones in the Death Row area. So we turned on our EVP, and we're asking a bunch of stuff, and we got one little sigh. Like, it was a, like, okay,
yeah,
not much, but something's here, cool. So then we got on the EMF dowsing rods didn't do shit. We got on the Maglite, and long story short, we started asking, like, who are you? Do you like us here? Do you want to keep talking? Do you like men or women? Did you have like all the basic questions?
Yeah.
We got a lot of yes and no's. Do you like us? Do you want us to stay? Yes, no, yes, no. And then eventually, there was no activity. It stopped for a couple of minutes. Came back. We asked the same questions again, but the spirit answered yes to the opposite question. So what she said yes to previously, she said no again to, and it was opposite. And we were like, "Are you fucking with us?" And yeah. and it said yeah. And then we said, "Are you a criminal?" And it said yeah. And it goes, "Did you kill yourself?" And it did not say anything, or it didn't turn on. And then it said, "Did you get killed?" And it said yes. And then it said, "Did you come to prison because you killed somebody?" It said yes. And then at that point we were like narrowing down who it could have been, because the only people that got killed there were either in the 1954 riot or in the gas chamber. Mm-hmm. As far as notorious deaths, at least.
Yeah.
And we said, "Did you die in the 54 riot?" Did not turn on. It's like, okay. Did you die in the gas chamber? And it said, yeah. Like, okay. And then it said, "Are you male or female?" It didn't answer that. We did not answer to gender. And we're like, okay, well, there's 42 options here. And so
there are 42 options.
And then we were talking amongst ourselves, and he goes, "Well, they said that the spirit killed somebody." And then I'm like,
okay, that narrows it down.
And then I'm, oh no, it did.
Oh. And well, I was being sort of sarcastic.
Oh, okay. And then I said, "Wait, here, let me butt in for a second." They said, "All right." I'm like, "Is the person that you killed under the age of 15? They said, "Yes." And I said, "I think I know who we're talking to. Do you know where this is going?"
No, I was just
I think we were talking to one of the two ladies that got executed, Bonnie B. Hetty. I got a screenshot.
Oh my god.
Got a screenshot.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Age 41, crime. Hetty and Carl Austin Hall kidnapped a young boy named Bobby Greenlease. They demanded $600,000 in ransom. At the time, it was the largest ransom in the history of the nation, which was paid. Unknown to the family, they both killed and buried the boy before they could come and get him.
Oh my fucking god.
The judge who sentenced them called it the most cold-blooded and brutal murder ever. He had ever tried. They were both executed side by side in the gas chamber. Hetty was the only woman to be executed in the gas chamber.
Oh my god. Holy
yeah.
Shit.
And then after that, I said, "Hey, I know where her old cell is on the death row if you want me to show you." And they said, "Yeah." So I took him over to the cell, and only one of the girls though went in. The other three were scared. And,
bitch.
And then we like as we were about to leave, they stopped me, they asked me some questions, and they went on their way. Yeah, that was really cool. Did not expect that to happen, but yeah.
Wow. And
then last but not least, what will be on my arm eventually.
I was about to say, what's that is it? Well, better than the last one.
Well, yes it is.
Ooh, I'm excited. Okay, let's go.
The last but not least for the death row. There's more after that.
Save the best for last.
All right, okay.
Save the best for last.
Gas chamber then.
Okay.
We did EVP and Pandora's Box.
Okay.
Not much to go off here. Just what we did get was really nice. It was the first ever rotation I had ever done. I doubt he watched this, but Joe, if you're watching this, awesome. If you don't know what Pandora's Box is, it's an EVP recorder, but it's a lot more expensive because it is it's a lot more sensitive than a regular EVP recorder is. It can capture twice the distance, and it is twice as white noise. So like, if you're putting it like on a desk and you walk 20 feet away and you just go, ah, it sounds like someone borderline almost screamed into it. Yeah. It's really sensitive, really, really sensitive. But anyway, we do Pandora's Box, and the bad thing about Pandora's Box is it's kind of quiet to a large group of people. So what we do is we record obviously on the Pandora's box, but then after that we put speaker to speaker to a phone and then hit record and then record the audio back into our phone and then play it out like out of a big speaker.
Okay, yeah.
So it's a bit more muffled, but if the voices are clear enough, the muffling don't really matter.
Yeah.
So we got some very we I did me neither me or Joe ask any other questions. It was all the guests and guests being guests. It was how did you die? What was your age? Do you want us to leave? All the basic questions. And
Yeah.
then we got some class A answers to those basic bitch quote the questions though. We got a loud growl. And then one, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if this was the exact response, but I remember one older lady saying, "Do you, I just burped a little bit. I'm sorry if you heard
I
that."
was gonna be like, what's that?
That was not a demon. One older lady asked something like, "Do you like us here, or do you like us doing investigations here?" Something along the lines of that. And then a loud voice came through, like an old man, "Get out."
And I'd be
Clear,
like, get out.
clear as
You get out.
fucking.
I'm an asshole. Okay,
I
if I
paid for this
ever show up,
investigation.
if I ever show up in these tours with you, I'm gonna be such an asshole. I'm gonna be like, you get out. What
The fucking old man from The Conjuring 2?
Yeah.
It sounded like him. Get
That's
out.
what I'm trying to do.
Oh,
Get
okay.
out.
And then we also get a giant no. I forgot what the question was to that, but it was pretty simple evidence, but it was class A evidence. It was very clear, it was very acknowledgeable. And then, like I said, and then that but that's all the gas chamber so far from my personal experience. Once again, the women's quarters didn't get much at all. Heard some weird noises, but welcome to the paranormal. House 4 and dungeon, where we do, which I'll be getting one soon. Well, we did Phasma Box, and we did the
Ooh.
Phasma Box out loud in
Okay.
House 4, and then down in the dungeon we did the Phasma Box, but with the Estus method.
Okay.
I'm assuming you know what the Estus is. I guess I want to make sure. During the Phasma sessions on the main floor, which is House 4. Oh, and by the way, just for those wondering, you can only stay on the main floor of House 4, which is the ground floor, and go down to the dungeon. The stairs that lead up to every other floor are closed off because they have not touched a single cell up top. They have left them completely alone. So
Well, I
there's.
mean, for safety reasons, I'd assume.
Well, as far as why we can't go up there, yeah, because rusty pipes, all that dumb shit. So yeah. On the main floor of House 4, we did the Phasma Box to everyone. We put a speaker on it and broadcasted it, or let it play to everyone. And we got a lot of Class B responses, like clear, but yes, no, over here, shit like that. But during that time, it was like we were in the middle of something. Because during that time, we heard crashes, fast footsteps, like someone was running, and like bangs, like someone was running away from something or in a fight. In my head, I was like, is this like the residual energy from the 54 riot? Like, it wasn't crazy, but it was like,
Yeah.
clunk. Yeah, like, it was like someone was running or fighting or something. It felt like residual energy of the 54 riot.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And then during my first trip down there, the first night, we went down into the dungeon to do the Estus method with some guests and got cool responses, but as the people with the headphones were saying out stuff and giving the responses back, we were getting bangs on pipes and shit. Like, hey, we're here, like trying to get your attention. And then
Oh,
the second night,
okay.
we couldn't go. We went down into the dungeon and immediately had to evacuate because we kept on hearing. It's like some guests were like saying, "Did you hear that screeching sound?" And people were like, "No." But that same person that said no, I was like, "Oh, I heard it. Oh, I heard it." I'm like, "That doesn't sound spirit bait." Like, I kind of just ignored it. It happened again. It happened again. And then one girl dropped something, her bag or something. And then next thing you know, four bats came off the ceiling and started swarming everyone. And then Lori, my investigator, said, "Everyone calm down. Calm down. Just get down for a second." Eventually the bats, they calmed down. And then people were still screaming, and they said, "If we can calm down and be gentle, we can stay in like in here." But one girl claimed she felt something touch her neck, and she screamed. And she screamed.
It's probably like
the bat started flying again. So yeah. At that point, I was down at the end of the hallway with the person in the S just to make sure that they were safe. Lori comes down the hallway and says, "I'm getting the Phasma box. Get them upstairs now." I turned on my flashlight, turned on the corner where everyone was, and everyone was ducking down and going, like it was like the apocalypse. I'm like, all right, I was just screaming. All right, everyone, upstairs, everyone, upstairs. And then I was like, it was so hectic. But yeah, that was all of that.
The bats. Bats, yeah. And that was that. And then, freaking bats.
And lastly, my experience in death row. Note this, in 3D, 3D is directly below you in the death row area. And there's a giant set of stairs that comes up and goes left. And like 3D, or for the camera, 3D stairs that lead up, and then you turn left into here. And then right as you turn here, that's the death row area. So it just leads up and you turn left, and then you're there. Come up. Turn left, you walk by death row, and then you walk through a hallway and then leave the building. So, that's for context. Saying that, I was doing trigger objects with Addy. And then, 10 minutes, I think, into this, I was like asking questions. "Hey, if you can turn on this, do this, blah, blah, blah." And then eventually, I saw what looked to be, this did not look like a spirit. It looked like a regular fucking man. Almost facial features and everything. I saw a man come up the stairs and walk towards the entrance, down the hallway. And in my head, I was like, some guest has like escaped and just want to go do their own thing. Fuck. So I just yelled, before he got all the way down, I was like, "Hey. Hey, stop. Hey." And then he didn't even care to look at me. I'm like, all right. So then I'm like, well, I can't. For safety reasons, there's a lot of dangerous shit back where he's walking. There's a reason why we can't go over there. So I was like, "Abby, I'll be right back." And she goes, "All right." So I didn't sprint, but I like jogged over there. And then I was like, "Hey, get back over here." He had a flashlight beam and everything. Like, he was an actual investigator. I was like, "Hey, stop." As soon as I turned that corner, nothing. But two actual employees of MSP, the tour guide of the jail, they came walking over to me. One I got to know well. She's a friend now. She's like 50, but she's funny as shit. She walked over and goes, "Did you see that?" And then I'm like, "Yeah, I was trying to stop him." But he goes, no, you can't." I'm like, "Why? Is that an employee or something?" He goes, "No, we call him Big Boy." I'm like, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "That spirit's been walking the halls for 12 years now. We have evidence and pictures to fucking prove it. We call him Big Boy." I'm like, "He looked like a human." "Yep. Facial features, clothes, flashlight. Is that what you saw?" I'm like, "Even with a hat?" He goes, "Yep. That's Big Boy." I'm like, "Oh." And they go, "Yep. We have pictures to prove it. We have some video. He's known to walk the halls of 3D and death row to make sure everyone's safe and no one's in harm. And he's about 6'3". We call him Big Boy."
That gave me fucking chills.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was literally a guest that just escaped and wanted to go do his own thing. I'm like, "Nope, this can't happen. You gotta go stop him." Turn around the corner, nothing. MSP people was like, "Is this what you saw?" "Yep. We call him. He's the Big Boy. He's the spirit of what we think is a guard. A vest, like overalls, vest, like what almost looks like maintenance. Overalls, vest, cap, flashlight, just pacing the hallways."
Here's my question. Did it look like modern clothing, or did it look a little outdated? Like a little, even just by a little
bit? It looked like a stereotypical plumber's outfit if it was like ragged and messed up. Like a onesie but work based.
I know that. I had a grandfather. He was a farmer and that's what he would wear. They were like navy overalls. They were like really long sleeved and they'd have like reflectors on them sometimes. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I didn't see the reflectors for the sense of that.
They
example.
Don't always
have but yeah, like some like big work ones, like if you were to go hunting, maintenance, plumbing, yeah. Like he was walking like a flashlight in this angle, elbow down, just walking down, wasn't looking. He was, his face was fucking straight, just like nothing was happening, just walking. And I was like, someone has, some guest like has the balls to walk away. I chased him. Who was that turned the corner? Nothing. I just see the other two employees come, they come around and go, did you see that? Yeah, we call that big boy. But a 6'3" guard looking spirit, full on apparition, shoes. I saw everything from the shoes up to the hat. Even the flashlight beam. The beam of the flashlight is what I saw first. I thought my lead investigator, Frankie, the guy that was down there in 3D doing census, I thought he was flashing his light up because I think the rotation was about to be over. I figured, oh, a guest got injured. He was showing the way up or something. I saw a flashlight beam come up the stairs. I'm like, just Frankie, he's showing the way out. That was not Frankie.
That's what I want to experience.
Yeah, it went from fuck to, oh, it left a mental mark on me. I still remember exactly how it happened, everything I saw to this day.
Oh my god.
See, what I want to get is like the tattoo like somewhere like on my arm. Do you know the shackles that you wear like on your feet, the big cuffs?
Yeah.
I want to get 3 shackles like on my arm with chains going like in between them. One with a bat, one with a dungeon door, and one with a hand with like a flashlight in it.
Holy shit.
But yeah. I explained what I saw, and to this day I can remember that. I don't even know the employee's name, but the employee she looked at me and goes, everything that you just said, we've captured that in multiple ways for the last 12 years. They call him Big Boy. Yep.
Holy shit. So what you're telling me now is I have to come to this place literally as soon as I possibly can.
If you want to go through the company, it's September.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll have to. Yeah. I don't really have any other way.
Well, see, MSP hosts their own small investigations, but they're like 2 hours long.
I want the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a wimp. What do you think I am?
Yeah, that's
holy damn, dude.
I think we've gone on the long enough. I will mention everything else, the extra shit at a later date. I will say this, my Conjuring House investigation is near done. The investigation part is completely edited. I just have to record the history part. And then the other investigation I'll talk about at a later date. But yeah.
Cool.
That's all I have on my first two visits and my first 4 events, because one event is one night at Missouri State Penitentiary.
Wow, dude. Yeah. It's freaking insane. The bloodiest 47 acres.
Yeah.
Damn.
I look like a fucking fanboy right now. Oh,
you do a little bit, but it's okay.
It's okay. But is there anything that you have to add?
The only thing I have to add is that is literally why we do this.
Yeah.
Is to literally have these experiences and to keep on researching and to keep on trying to experience these experiences and to try to figure out into the question why.
Yeah.
And that just even adds more to it. That adds the fuel to the fire. Like, that's just, I mean.
Like, talking about, like, what may happen at Bobby Mackey's, or talking about what may happen at fucking Ancient Ram Man, things across seas, things states away. Knowing that what I experienced firsthand has probably happened, but tenfold at these other places. We may only talk about it here, but once you experience it for yourself anywhere, it brings to light in your head, like, holy shit, this is what their words are being put into fruition in person.
Yeah. It's like a that's a whole other thing.
But yeah. Yeah. This has been episode 20 something of We the Haunted. Yeah. Of We the Haunted, Our Encounters. I have been Trevor, Haunted Faith, and we also have
Lily, the one and the only.
And be sure, I'm not going to go into the whole thing. Twitter, Instagram, rate us everywhere. If you don't at this point, you know how to do it again. We highly appreciate it. Thank you for watching, and we will talk to you very soon. Later.
Bye-bye.